You're with Joe and Sabrina, Roots and Shoots, 720 ABC Radio Perth and WA.
And a very, very, very massively big, I was going to say Happy New Year, Sabby, but I don't know if it's all that happy, but let's hope for peace and joy and light and all of those things. It is delightful to see you and I'm happier for seeing you.
Do you know what's always happy and joyous and gives you peace is when you go out in your garden.
This is very, very true.
And you just walk around and you see all of nature that's just put itself there for you.
This is something I did do a bit of over the break. Something else we did was try to tackle the armyworm. And my bloke went off. I sent him your advice.
Did he
listen?
No.
Only the best horticulturist in the state. But, you know, make your own mind up when you go into the big green shed and some silly bloke tells you something else. But you've just informed me that there is a new organic something, something, something. I should have told him to go and get that.
Yeah, well, it's only just come out. Now, it's an organic pesticide and it'll do things like mealybug and whitefly, not the lawn grub. But interestingly enough, they've actually made it from a plant called Clitoria, which is a weed up in Broome. And you will, if ever you see it in flower, you will understand that it has been very aptly named.
Well, the female body and its organs are more remarkable than anybody could possibly say.
They truly are. And boy, oh boy, does the Clitoria spray do the job. We'll talk more about that later.
We've probably got Millibug too, so I might have to send him back to go and get the Clitoria spray. Do you think he'll listen this time?
Oh, I think he might do. I think his ears will prick up and go, oh, that's a new one.
Sabby is back and we better go to the call, Sabby, because people have been very patiently waiting. Hello, Gabrielle.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Gabrielle.
How are you? Funnily, my query is about mealybug because you have been talking about it.
Yeah.
Firstly, I've got a plant. I had a plant that had mealybug.
Yeah.
So I treated it and treated it, and then I thought, oh, I think it's the position.
Yep.
So I moved it out of that, and I got a different plant and put it in there, which is a standard gardenia.
Yeah.
But it's at the back of a balcony, and it doesn't get much air circulation.
Mm-hmm.
So the first part of the question is, would that environment encourage mealybug? And the second thing is, can I get rid of it? How do I get rid of it other than using that Clitoria spray?
I reckon you definitely should.
It's a cracker, I'm telling you now. Okay, yes. Now, what mealybug love is they love where there's not much air circulation, where they're protected from birds and things like assassin bugs and the beasties that will eat them. Ladybirds also eat them. So that's one factor. What people don't understand is mealybug also lay the eggs in the soil right next to the root system of the plant. So you need to actually clear out the soil as well. You can control mealybugs. It usually takes 3 consecutive sprays to get the next generation. So you'll have eggs, nymphs, adults. So you need 3 consecutive sprays a fortnight apart to actually break the life cycle. So there is a potassium fatty acid soap spray that will do it. And also now this new insect killer that is made from the Clitoria flower. But it doesn't harm bees or the pollinators. So,
and this is so increasingly important, isn't it?
That absolutely.
You cannot just willy-nilly be using the chemicals that then has the impact on the whole.
Yeah. So this is a natural, this is the natural chemicals that are found in this plant, and they have 3 different modes of action. So on mealybug, they're going to be really effective. So they disrupt their neurological system. They also stop them from wanting to feed. So they basically starve themselves to death. But it's not going to harm your bees or any of the pollinators that are coming in.
Great. Now, Lynn in Mundaring has got a tree. I love these trees. She's got a silver princess sapling and I think has been doing everything that you would recommend.
Yep.
Alas, it is not very healthy. Hello, Lynn.
Oh, hi, Jo and Sabrina. Yeah.
Hello, Lynn.
She was very happy until very recently. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, now, the Silver Princess, funnily enough, once it's established, it's really, really, really tough. But in the early first years, it actually does require a lot of water.
It's a little sensitive.
It is. It's a princess, after all. So what happens? We think that it's established. So you said you put yours in October. So it's been in the ground for quite a few months. But what happens, Lynn, is sometimes the root ball can dry out at a deeper level. So after a few months and we had a gentle start to summer, we sort of ease off on the watering. But in actual fact, the root mass probably hasn't moved very far. So it's recoverable, but what I would suggest you do is go and get yourself a wetting agent and some seaweed solution, not fertilizer, just a seaweed solution, and thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly soak it, like deep watering. And I think you'll find it'll bounce back.
Oh, I hope that. Did you see that green pattern? Did you see the dark green pattern on the leaves?
On the leaves? That's actually quite normal. That's definitely a water issue. So what's happened there is it can't distribute the minerals evenly through the leaf. So it has definitely dried out and it's definitely suffering from lack of water.
Would it even be worth digging a bit around?
No.
So just the wetting agent.
Yep, just the wetting agent. And stand there with the hose and thoroughly soak. Soak it, Lynn.
Every day or?
No, every third day.
Okay, all right.
Oh, it's worth persevering because they are so beautiful.
God,
good
luck.
Please report back. Please tell us the princess is doing well.
It's going to become a queen one day.
It's 22-3 on 720 ABC Perth and WA. Sabi is here. Sue, what's going on?
Good afternoon, Sabrina and Joe.
Hello, Sue.
I followed Sabrina's advice, but not quite terms of trying to deter the rats from eating my figs. So I duly went and got some peppermint oil.
Yep.
And sourcing that was quite something. And then the gentleman who sold it to me said, you might actually like to dilute it with some ethanol. So I duly did that by putting half peppermint oil and half ethanol in the squirty thing.
Yeah.
And the figs are looking very sad. They've quite brown.
I wouldn't put ethanol on.
No, no.
So I'd go back to the peppermint oil. Now, the thing is you can't spray any oil-based stuff on the actual fruit itself. You just spray it on the branches rather than the fruit. I wouldn't be putting ethanol on.
Well, yes,
but
I
too late.
The hard way, I think. Yeah.
Okay, so just get the hose and really hose all the foliage down as much as you can. The ethanol should evaporate eventually. It wouldn't be my choice to mix it with the peppermint oil.
Oh, Sue, good luck because figs and cheese. Mm-hmm. We want them.
Everything.
20-3 1300 222 720. We've got a gazillion texts coming through, but give us a call and Sabrina will hopefully be able to help you. Let's head to Mount Lawley. Hello, Kate.
Hello, I've got a pot plant called Azemiokuka, I think, raven. It has very dark leaves.
The ZZ plant.
Now it's got green ones. It's got green shoots now. Is that okay?
So it was a black one, was it?
Yeah.
And now it's got green?
Yeah.
Okay, that's normal, Kate. So what happens with that particular ZZ plant is that the leaves come out initially green and as they mature, they go black. So that, and I think that's really exciting because then you get a multicoloured plant in the one pot.
Oh, I thought it was dying.
No, it's alive and well, Kate.
It's thriving even. It's thriving, Kate.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's one thing you can tick off your list, Kate.
Yeah.
It's all doing well.
That's right.
Oh, that was very, very easy.
Yep.
No, it's not unwell. It's just happy.
That's it. Does it likes to change its colour?
I'm going to come to you in a tick, Russell. But Greg has got 6 very large zucchini plants, but the zucchinis are dying off when they're small, and he's about to pull the damn thing out. Please help him.
No, don't pull it out. So basically, what's happening is you don't have enough pollination. So zucchinis, it's very apparent what are the female flowers and the male flowers. So the female flower, the male flower is always happy to see you. So it has a little stick that's happy to see you. And then the girl flower has a little closed cluster. So you just rip the male flower off, rip his petals off and go a-poking. So you go poke, poke.
What's happened to you? I've come back and all you can think about is karate plants and poke, poke.
I think it's because it's summer and there's, there's sex going on everywhere in your garden. So that's what happens. So you don't get proper pollination. The other thing is in our veggie gardens with cucurbits is we water early in the morning, and if water gets on the pollen, of course the bees can't transfer it. So if you can wait or go out with a paintbrush and play I'm a Bee yourself, or do the poke, poke, pokey, poke, hokey, pokey, and then put the sprinkler on, you're better off doing that.
Okay.
Or you can pokey, poke, poke in the middle of the day.
Oh, have fun with your poking, Greg. Mm. Now, Russell is in Guelup and, oh, Russell. Russell's growing
the Boab.
Hey, Russell.
Hello, ladies. How are we?
Yeah, good. How's your Boab?
I have too many.
Oh, my Lord.
You got them from the seed, yeah?
Yeah.
Correct.
Amazing.
Yeah, just cracked the seed pods open, and a very kind gentleman in Broome who grows them gave me the down low on how to get the seeds to sprout.
Yep.
I made up 4 boxes for the seeds to sprout.
Wow.
Mine went nuts.
Yep.
The other 2 boxes I gave away.
Yep.
One person got 2, the other one's just got some coming up now.
Propagator. This is amazing.
I've put 11 into, well, probably put about 16 into pots.
Wow.
But when we had that burst of hot weather, I lost a few, but
what,
I've given 7 away. But the trouble is, I've got these 2 boxes with which I left the seeds in and they stayed damp, and I've now got about another 17.
That is awesome, Russell.
I'm happy for you to put me back, and I can leave my number with your lovely...
That would be sensational.
I need a good home for them.
Do you know what? I needed good news, Russell. It's been quite a horrendous day. And
do you know what, Russell? I'm going to come and pick those up because I've grown Boabs before. So they'd go to a good home, and I'll get them so that I'll keep them for at least 5 years, so they're a good size. And then we could have like a competition winner.
Oh, and you get a Boab.
You get a Boab. Yeah.
Brilliant. Yep. Oh,
more
Russell.
Than happy for that to happen. I'd love a new home to adopt out my baby Boabs.
Oh, Russell,
I mean,
that's awesome.
As much as anything else, it was just for the challenge of seeing if I could do them.
Yeah.
I've got too many.
Oh, that is such a good thing to have too many of. So if you stay online, we'll get your phone number and address, and I will definitely swing by and pick those up, Russell.
I look forward to it.
Oh, good on you, mate. Thank you for that. That's very exciting. 1-300-222-720 if you've got a question for Sabby. Annie is in Busselton. What's happening with your pomegranates, Annie?
Hi. I listened to Sabrina's advice last year or the year before, and I thought I had it right, but I had a pomegranate with masses of flowers.
Yeah.
I'd pruned it, I'd fertilised it, it's been watered. I could see the bees doing their thing between the flowers.
Yep.
And all the flowers have gone and no pomegranates.
Oh, bummer. All righty. So, well, we're getting towards the end now. So did you prune it early winter?
Probably maybe a bit later.
Okay. But it flowered, so... it gets plenty of sun.
Yes, lots of sun. It's got retic. I fertilised it. Someone also said to use some magnesium. I did that. Maybe that's the problem. And I actually watched what the bees were doing.
Oh, did you?
Yes, and I even got a photograph.
You were spying.
Yeah, and they were moving between the flowers. But, yeah, they've just all gone. Like, in the last 2-3 weeks, they've just all dropped off.
Do they look like they've been eaten?
No.
Okay,
they've got
all right.
The beginning of the development of the fruit.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then that's it. They've dropped. So when did they drop?
The first lot dropped before Christmas, yep. And then the last one dropped in the last couple of weeks.
Okay, so it may be a spike in temperature. I know they're very, 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 very hardy, and it may be that there's not enough potassium. So they've had lots of other stuff. So rather than the magnesium, I would be giving them sulfate of potash.
Sulfate of potash. So yeah. When should I do that?
As soon as they start sprouting leaves, so early spring. So give them a dose in spring and then another dose when you see that they're all in flower. That's when you give them. In fact, I'd give them liquid potassium.
Liquid potassium.
Yeah, you can spray it on. So when the leaves sprout in spring, give them sulfate of potash, and then once they've developed the flowers, give them liquid potassium.
When the flowers happen.
Yeah.
Okay, because I mean, I couldn't believe it. I just went.
How disappointing.
I know. I was like, you know, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, they looked absolutely magnificent. I was so proud of the flowers, and then they all left.
Devastating. Okay, so devastating.
Potash first.
Yes. Yep.
Good luck, Annie. Good luck, Annie. Good luck, Annie. We are going to have a chat to Dawn now. Dawn, what's going on in your garden?
Oh, hi, everyone. Look, I've grown probably about a dozen or so magnolias. They're the evergreen version from cuttings from my original tree.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if they would survive now that I've moved to Safety Bay. They're all in pots at the moment, but I was hoping to possibly pollard them and have them as a hedge with underplanting down the boundary fence.
Dawn, that's not a happy sound or a happy face on Sabby.
The one thing magnolias do not like is strong salt-laden winds, and the soil is not going to be too flash. You would need to put them in a hole that's a metre deep and a metre wide and fill it with really good compost, a bit of clay, biochar, cow manure. And then you're going to have to hose the foliage down twice a week.
Yeah, that's what I'm currently doing with them in pots.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping if I sort of replicated that in the ground, I might have a fighting chance.
Are they going to get the brunt of the wind or not?
No, they're on the side boundary.
Oh, okay.
And so it cut the wind comes sort of from a southwesterly direction.
Yep.
And it's on the boundary that sort of faces northwest.
Yep. Now, that's definitely give it a crack. And if you put them in with all the good tucker, Dawn, you should be okay.
Good luck, Dawn. Now, Lucky Peter in Swanbourne has got a banana plant and the bananas
are looking good.
Have fruited.
Yeah, and you can see there's many, many hands of bananas there and the beautiful big flower at the bottom. So
Peter's question is, can she leave the bananas to ripen on the tree?
Yes, you can. The reason in Queensland where and up in Carnarvon you see they put the blue bags
bats.
Yeah, well, it's not bats, it's rats that's the problem.
Oh, when we were in Queensland, the bats sometimes used to.
Oh, they do. They annihilate them.
Yeah.
So they can ripen on the tree. I don't know what the rat population may be.
In Swanbourne. You don't know that off the top of your head?
Well, I'd say it's the same as where I live, actually. But, yes, you can definitely leave them on the tree to ripen. Now, what you do have to do, Peter, is cut the flower off because you've got all the hands there now. So that you're not going to get any more hands coming from the flower. Eat the flower. They're beautiful in a stir fry. You can barbecue them, but they will be making seed and it detracts from the health of the hands of bananas. So, no, definitely go ahead. And someone's given some advice.
Oh, yes. Now,
on rats.
Yes. This is from wonderful Linda, who uses small plastic tubs that fruit comes in at the supermarket. And Linda says if you enclose the fig inside the plastic tub and snap it shut, it stops the rats or possums from getting at them, and you may need to cut a bit of the plastic to make it fit around the branch, but she uses that while they're ripening, and then you can put the plastic tubs to protect figs into a search. It'll come up with a little video. Good on you, Linda.
Absolutely beautiful.
Everybody's so helpful.
I know.
I'm going to ask you one or two quick more questions, Sabby, before we have to go. Ryan, hello, lovely to hear from you. Ryan has got a 7-foot-tall Mr. Lincoln Rose. How much can he safely prune? It's quite the beast, I have to say.
Oh, my Lord. So, Ryan, you do not need the chainsaw for that, my friend. Okay, that really does need. So this winter, so the rose we're looking at, Joe, has two main stems, which are almost completely bare, and then you've got all the bizzo happening at the top. So, you can prune now. You can take, I would take 20 centimetres off the top of Mr. Lincoln, put the roses in a vase, they will shoot. This coming winter, you need to prune hard. So the one leaning to the left, you need to take it off about 10 centimetres above ground level. And the one that's on the right-hand side that's got most of the growth on, you need to take 50% off that. I know you're going to be left with a stick.
But it'll be worth it in the long term.
Oh, it will.
It'll be worth it in the long term. Just one final question from Rosie, who is calling you a beautiful garden fairy and wishing you Happy New Year. Her dahlias aren't flowering. They're well fed and watered. They've been treated for mites and so on.
Yep.
Do they need more sun? What's going on?
I would actually dig the tubers up and see if they've rotted, because sometimes when we get a wet winter, the tubers can just sit in wet ground and they rot away. Now, dig them up, and if they're starting to shoot, that's okay. Just replant them. Make sure they get enough sun, because dahlias actually do need sun to rise ho up out of the ground, because most dahlias are flowering now, but they could be a bit late this year.
Okay, that is good advice. I'm going to squeeze in one more.
Yes.
The bulk of Patrick's kangaroo paws have finished flowering. Should he be pruning them now?
Yes, definitely.
Prune away.
Yep. Go.
Prune.
Go
prune.
To it and prune the flowers either where the new flowers are coming from or 10 centimetres above the ground.
Good on you, Sabby.
Oh, my pleasure.
Nice doing business.
Yes, we'll do it again next week.